This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Spring is an active time for birds and animals across Wisconsin, but all the spring activity combined with the brutal winter can leave animals vulnerable. Raptors like hawks and eagles need special care when they're recovering from injury or illness.
Joining us today is Marge Gibson, co-founder of the Wisconsin-based Raptor Education Group, which is dedicated to caring for injured or orphaned native bird species and a public education on wildlife issues. Marge, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
So how does someone get into raptor rehabilitation?
Well, I think it's easier now, shall we say, because now there's permits, the permit process is in place. But when I started, it was more of a, an interest. And I always loved birds, even as a little child. And, it just sort of grew from that.
And you do all kinds of different work with the raptors that you're rehabilitating. There are owls and hawks and eagles. What is it like to work with, not just, any bird, but sort of the more majestic and big birds that we have here in Wisconsin?
You know, they're really amazing. And I think the thing that would surprise people is really how intelligent they are. People are always impressed with their majesty and with their presence. But when we're working with them and they're injured, that is very really translated into a calm presence that is actually very cooperative if you know how to handle them. And it really, they're just amazing. And every single one is different. So it, it really is, it's really an honor to work with them.
Can you tell us a story of a bird or two that has been particularly memorable among all that you've worked with over the years?
Oh, boy, there have been so many. We do over 100 eagles a year and over 800 to 1,000 birds a year, so there's been so many. But I think it's the ones that, have pretty tragic beginnings that really stick with us, the ones that have perhaps been poisoned and, have kind of a rough road to hoe for months and then actually recover from that poisoning. And we've had several of those. But one that really, really sticks with me was a trapping injury. And it was a male bald eagle. It was about 4 years ago. And this bald eagle was trapped inadvertently. It was a trap that was set for a muskrat. And he happened upon it. And it was near the Wisconsin River. And he went into the river with the trap. It fell into the river trying to get it off. And it had kind of a stick attached to it, a last stick that was about 3 feet long. And as he floated down the river trying to stay afloat, the stick would catch up on rocks. And so he was kind of caught up, and then he would get kind of beat up on the rocks. This went on for 3 days. And finally, someone noticed him and called for help. And it happened to be a very, very frigid period here. The ice had just come off, and it was very, very cold as well. So my husband and I were called in an evening, and we drove to the spot that he was at, and some people had found him and had actually gotten him in a box. He was so cold, I really thought he was gone, and they did as well. They, thought we were too late. But when I held him, I could feel that there was, some life left, and I held him in the front seat and, had the heat blowing on him. I brought some heat packs with me to put under his wings because I knew that this was a bird that was going to be cold if he'd been in the water that long. And we drove like the wind back to the Reggie Center and used a hair dryer, to try to dry him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really in critical condition for about 3 weeks. And the foot was also a problem because it had a trap on it and had been trapped. But when he recovered, he was such a calm bird. It was amazing. He would jump on the side of his box and kind of watch us in the clinic. And our clinic isn't huge. We do a lot of work there, but it's not huge. It's about 20 feet long. And he was just an incredibly observant bird. He recovered.
And did you release him to the wild?
We did. And he was just amazing. He still comes, and he has a nest not too far from us. And he still comes in the spring. In fact, he was here about 2 weeks ago, and then I think now their nesting has started again. And we call him Trapper John, and we don't usually name our patients, but he was sort of special. But, you know, it's those birds that really really make you realize how incredible they are and the ability that they have to overcome incredible obstacles to survive and then to thrive afterwards.
So he comes back to see you each year?
You know, people always ask us, oh, when you release birds, do they come back? And most of the time, you know, they don't, of course. We release them, they're wild, they go. And this bird was a full adult. He's probably at least 15 years old when he was injured. But there was a special connection, and that happens not infrequently with our patients. But, of course, he is not tame. I mean, you know, a 15-year-old adult bald eagle, I mean, wasn't raised in captivity, nothing. But, you know, I think he knew he was in a lot of trouble. And, there's something interesting that happens, and I can't tell you what it is because it's very hard to put into words, but it's there's definitely a transference that's pretty amazing. And each and every time you work with one of these birds, it really energizes you to continue what you're doing.
This work seems to require specialized training. Do you need to be a qualified veterinarian to do this?
No, in fact, most rehabilitators are not veterinarians. While working a lot with companion animals, domestic animals, are really not trained in wildlife unless it's a specialized course. And there's a few universities that have wildlife veterinary medicine as part of their tract. But wildlife is so different than domestics, and I think it's hard to describe. But for instance, if one of our birds would have a bad break and a bad fracture in a wing, if it were a dog or a cat, there would be a simplistic way of fixing it. But birds have hollow bones, and so they're to pin it the same way that you would with a mammal really wouldn't work, and in fact, it often. Is detrimental to them. So they're very different, but we work with veterinarians, and we're very lucky to have some veterinarians in our area that are wonderful and work with us and learn. But I'm a biologist, and all of my people are either biologists or zoologists, and that's basically what you have. I think that the core is to really understand the biology, the anatomy of the animal, and the natural history. Natural history is so important. If you have a patient, you have to know, a bird patient at least, you have to know when it arrives in the spring, when it leaves in the fall, so you can either release it or not, or actually sometimes we have to transport loons, for instance, down to the Gulf of Mexico.
So you can time it just right.
Yeah. So you really have to know their natural history. And it's kind of a combination. And working with them is, and every species is so different. We do over 200 bird species. So it's very, they're all different. And you have to know who to put together, that sort of thing, who would be, kind of threatening to each other, and who gets along, and what they eat. A lot of our birds eat only insects, and that becomes kind of a challenge to feed them as well.
When you're working with these big birds of prey, I mean, they have sharp beaks and talons. These are hunting birds. Is it ever dangerous?
Well, I think it's dangerous if you don't know what you're doing, but I think that, there are many more dog bites, than injuries from wild raptors, and it's the same thing. You really have to know. You have to know the animal, and you have to know, how to handle them. If they're well handled and they don't feel threatened, that really is the key to being able to handle them.
And we're going to leave it there. But Marge, it's fascinating. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing it with us.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Marge Gibson, co-founder of the Raptor Education Group.